Hi, welcome to the Subway ad for $2.99 subs. How would you like it?
I'll take Drill Sergeant, please.
You got it.
All right, now listen up. I want each and every one of you to drop and give me a 6-inch meatball marinara, cold cut combo, veggie delight, or Black Forest ham on your choice of bread with any veggies you want for just $2.99 each.
Sir, yes, sir!
Subway! Make it what you want at participating restaurants. Additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight? What?
Take your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty ape!
At the Movies on BFM 89.9.
I'm Umar Pagan, I'm PK Pagan, and this week, well, it's a slow week in cinemas, which is why we've been doing movies that you may or may not want to watch, and we're going to continue that with Triple X, The Return of Xander Cage.
A return nobody really was asking for.
No. As you can tell, joining me, of course, is Ian McNally. This is a movie that was directed by DJ Caruso. He was previously known for the G.I. Joe movie.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, it stars Vin Diesel as Xander Cage, along with a diverse cast of non-white people.
Yeah, the United Colors of Benetton are in this.
Yeah, and it's kind of refreshing. You're watching the opening credit, and you don't see a white name for about five or six names in. I mean, you've got Donnie Yen, you've got Deepika Padukone, of course, fresh out of Bollywood. You've got Chris Wu, you've got Tony Jaa, and then finally you get to kind of Ruby Rose and Nina Dobrev
and Rory McCann,
and also, really nice that Toni Collette's found some work again.
Yes. I was like, seriously? She's been working constantly. She was in a TV show for quite some time.
United States of Tara, which is actually a pretty good show.
Yeah. And she turns up here and now, but like, she's almost unrecognizable in this.
This movie is nowhere nearly as bad as Resident Evil or Underworld.
Yeah, this is exactly the type of movie I was expecting when I went in to see those. I wanted some fun, some action, set pieces and fights that I could see and enjoy, a few laughs here and there. And that's exactly what it gave us.
I was going to say, should we try explaining the plot? I mean, the plot seems like they thought it up while not even drunk, because I think being drunk and high would get you more creative.
Yeah, but essentially, they would drink high on energy drinks, maybe.
Possibly. I mean, essentially, it's really basic.
Yeah.
Bad guys, terrorists, decide to kill people by hijacking satellites and crashing them into the Earth.
Yeah, all you need to know is that it's extreme sports James Bond. That's literally it.
Well, that was the basic concept of the first movie, right?
Yeah.
They said, how can we take James Bond, make it American?
Was there a joke in the first one where a gentleman spy gets killed?
I think, something like that.
Because he can't hack it with the extreme sports terrorists?
Pretty much,
Like extreme sports terrorists is a thing now, apparently.
And of course, the first one was directed by Rob Cohen, who was responsible for the Fast and the Furious.
Yeah.
So I think it was part of Vin Diesel's expansion as an action movie star.
Yeah.
He refused to do the second one, or he didn't want to do the second one, which is why you had Ice Cube. Right. That was Triple X State of the Union.
Yeah.
And that was in 2005. So it's been 12 years since we had the last movie in this franchise.
Mm.
Is this a franchise that anyone cares about?
I don't think so. I think it's bubblegum. It's literally chew it up and throw it out. It's completely disposable. But
you say that, but in this movie,
it's really good bubblegum.
Not only that, but they play it so straight.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. There's this kind of straightness to it that's almost comedic. Like, I found myself just chuckling at this movie. Like, not with it, at it a lot of the times. But it seemed like that at was actually a secret with.
No, but they played straight in the sense that they really, really want you to know that they've taken into consideration that there were two movies before this.
Oh, yeah.
And that everything should tie together.
Yeah.
I mean, unlike what we had with Resident Evil,
yeah,
where it was the same writer-director for almost all of those movies.
And it's the end. It's a sixth movie supposedly ending the franchise.
And they can't get the continuity straight.
No. They mess it up. And they don't even lovingly look at the continuity. We're talking about Triple X continuity. How ludicrous is this? and how lovingly they pay attention to continuity.
If this movie was faithful to its own lore, I mean, we gave Monster Trucks the same cred.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that's what it takes. If you're making a stupid movie, it doesn't mean you have to be stupid.
Yeah. When we talked about Arrival, and I think it was The Martian last year, which some other reviewer talked about as smart people doing clever things, this is dumb but pretty people doing dumb but fun things.
Exactly.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
I do have one criticism, though. White DPs have no idea how to shoot Donnie Yen fighting.
Well, look at it this way. The action scenes with Donnie Yen in it were shot better than the rest of the action scenes in the movie. And they're also miles ahead of anything in the Underworld or Resident Evil movies.
I'm convinced that Sammo Hung is the only person who knows how to shoot Donnie Yen fighting, right?
The scene in the airplane was pretty well shot.
I think so. There's a big climax scene in an airplane where they're kind of defying gravity because the airplane's taking a dive and
because
it's creating
now,
that zero-G effect.
Yeah, because
right?
Basically they've become XXX Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as well. They have a big
plane. I was just going to say, they stole the plane from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
But that being said, a lot of the fight scenes still suffer from the close-up, frenetic camera work that Jason Bourne gets right to a certain extent, but many, many other movies drop the ball because you don't know what you're looking at.
Yeah, you have to be very careful how close you get. Again, the Resident Evil being a prime example of this, where it was just blurry messiness. You couldn't see anything, even if something was cool. You can see there's a few cool moments in this that you see, the few cool non-Donnie Yen moments that you can see in this that stick in your mind and stand out a bit. That doesn't happen with these other movies when they try it harder.
Donnie Yen is a legend, though.
Yes.
Donnie Yen is badass and cool in every possible way. There is one scene at the opening of this film where he's wearing a black leather jacket and he's in between a fight and he kind of unzips the jacket.
Well, he starts off doing gun foo and then he runs out of bullets and he switches to jacket foo.
That's right.
And it's amazing because you're like, he literally drops into the movie. You're not expecting it. And it's just an amazing action scene straight off the bat. He is an Eastern star in his own right. But he is going to be huge in the West.
I think so. I think it's taken long enough, but it's about time Hollywood wakes up to the wonder that is Donnie Yen.
Yeah.
And you know what? He does English well. The acting's pretty good. I mean, I can't say the acting's pretty good. It's a XXX movie.
Yeah.
But he pulls it off.
Yeah.
And it's believable, right? I'm not too sure about Deepika Padukone. I don't know how to say this without sounding racist, but the accent's pretty heavy. And romantic or emotional moments don't translate well.
Oh, it didn't.
Because I think her timing's just a little off.
Was it? I thought it was perfectly fine for most part, but then I don't have the ear for it.
I'm not going to do the accent.
But there is something to be said that this is the movie that, it may not be the movie we want, but the movie we deserve right now.
Yeah.
Because there's a weird undercurrent running through this.
So this movie would have clearly been made and finished sometime mid of 2016,
definitely.
Right? For a 2017 release,
gotta
at least.
Yeah.
I know that first trailer came out very early 2016.
Mm-hmm.
So at least pre-production must have been done with some scenes. I think post must have been carried through throughout the year. So it was already well within a kind of post-truth Trump era in which this script must have been written.
Mm-hmm.
And there are these really prescient lines. I mean, there's one moment right up at the beginning of the film when Toni Collette's character, she's the agent who's come to recruit XXX, and she talks about being a patriot.
Mm-hmm.
And Vin Diesel drops this truth bomb on her, and he's just like, there's no such thing as patriots. There are only tyrants and rebels.
And she says, which one are you?
Oh,
and there's a key point at the end where it's like he needs to be the... The XXX team has to be the checks and balances for democracy as a whole. He needs to be the watchers of the watchers on the wall, which is ludicrous but fantastic.
I know. And suddenly this movie has a weight to it that I don't think they were prepared for.
Only extreme sports can save us from Donald Trump.
Take a hike, James Bond. If you can't jump off a telephone tower wearing a pair of skis in the jungle, you ain't got the chops.
Nope.
What are we doing? I don't know. What do we say about this film? Do we recommend this movie? This is
the kind of thing where you say, like, oh, should we see it? You know, if you've got a choice between Arrival and this, go see Arrival.
Of course, you know, every time.
But there is a market for this. This is a B movie. This is a B movie. It's like, it's not going to, you're not going to buy the poster to put on your wall unless you're maybe 12. But apart from, I think actually say teens. No, you can't do that. But... It's the type of movie that it's fun popcorn. It's a fun time at the cinema. It's not too demanding. I wouldn't say check your brain at the door because I hate that. I hate that phrase and it covers a multitude of sins. People try to get away with explaining the Transformers by saying just check your brain at the door. You don't need to check your brain at the door at this, but you can put it into sleep mode.
Like a lot of good action movies, you can put your brain into sleep mode My only reservation with this is that there were bits with Vin Diesel in it, which I found kind of boring when he wasn't in full team mode. And I don't know if that's because the charm of Vin Diesel is wearing off. I don't know if that's it. I've still got a lot of time for The Rock, but somehow the Vin Diesel movies have stopped appealing in some way.
Yeah, well, this is the thing. I mean, the way that they've found a vehicle, pun intended, for Vin Diesel outside of the Fast and the Furious series is just to turn XXX into the Fast and the Furious series. Like, they don't have vehicles, but he's got the team, he's got the MacGuffin to get after. It's very much a similar setup.
Are you thinking there's going to be more? I don't know. It's not done very well at the US box office.
I thought you were going to say a crossover, because you could have Xander Cage and Dom Toretto.
Yeah, Dominic Toretto.
Have the two of them team up, which would be amazing. But he's so taciturn and quiet.
I would watch that movie.
Yeah, he's so taciturn and quiet. And like, the most dialogue he's had in any movie in years has been "I am Groot." So it is weird to hear him talking and actually have to carry the movie. And yes, he does at points let that go.
So the movie got trounced by Split at the last box office. Last week, Split took in about $40 million. This one took in half of that, about $22 million, I think, something like that. And that usually doesn't bode well for any kind of sequel prospects. Yet again, I go back to the idea of Split being a movie that was made for $10 million. And this one was clearly closer towards $100 million, I think. Therein lies the problem. I think if you had made a XXX movie for $10 or $25 million, I think you'd get away and make 7 more of these.
Yeah, if you shot all of it in Detroit instead of just some of it.
That being said, let me tell you this, dude. When I went in to watch the movie, I was the only person in the cinema. It was a morning screening. So I was the only person in the cinema, barring one other couple who I was convinced were having actual full-on sex. So I didn't know which XXX to review, but I'm glad we stuck with this one.
Yeah.
So hey, if you've got nothing else to do this Chinese New Year weekend, don't watch Resident Evil. Go see XXX instead, and then tweet us about it, and we'll like to know what you think. I'm on at Umar Fagan.
I'm on at McNasty Prime.
You've been listening to At the Movies. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, this is pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.